Hey everybody, welcome, and thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach Brittle. I'm here with Laura Heck. We got a little bit of a two-for-one for you going. We started off with an agenda in this episode to talk about an activity that Laura has been doing with her clients called a can of worms, and instead we sort of dumped our own can of worms out on the table. And we have a little bit of, like, we picked them up and sort of looked at this, and we looked at that, and we looked at the other thing. I think there's a lot of good stuff in here. We talked a little bit about some client work that we're doing and some ideas that we have around intimacy and connection. It's a fun one, but we never got to Laura's activity, which is going to be next week. We recorded two in a row, so we got a little bit of part one this week, a little bit of part two next week. It'll be a little bit of like a to-be-continued action. So again, thanks for joining us, and I hope you find some takeaways, because this is a very cool conversation. Stick around.
I was hoping that you found my text messages to be like endearing, that you could rely on me, you could trust that I was going to show up, that I wasn't going to flake on you, which has happened. But
well, I went through a little bit of a mental roller coaster, didn't I? Because I woke up in time to meet you at 8, and the first thing I see was 9 a.m.
9 a.m., right. And then you have to keep reading.
I'm like, you mother father, I just got up to see you at 8 a.m. and you said 9 a.m.
That's right.
And you said, you're going to want my brain on. And I was
like,
yep,
you just got up at 7:58. I didn't inconvenience you all that much because you got up
by an hour. And then I was like, and then it was like, nah, never mind. I'll be up and ready to knock it out of the park. Face on, head sharp, ready to knock out two podcasts.
That's right.
So yeah, you took me on a little roller coaster this morning. Thank you for that.
I was on a little bit of a roller coaster. That's kind of how my life is like, can I flake on this right now? Like, do I really have to do this? Because it felt kind of like, whose idea was it to wake up on Saturday to record a podcast at 8 a.m.? That's kind of a silly idea.
Yeah.
And you know, like, it's an evolving conversation because I don't have anything going on today.
That was a nightmare.
But
Thursday
I'm
was
here.
Gross. Because my internet broke, and then we crossed the lines with the interview lady that we were supposed to talk to, and now we don't get to talk to her until February.
I know.
So anyway.
It was okay though. I know that it was a disappointment that we blocked off 2 hours out of our life to be with each other, and we did not record it. We had zero product, but I didn't mind it because I liked hanging out with you.
Yeah. Although I've definitely found lost time is one of my pet peeves, and that's not just Thursday, right? It's like, it's unexpected traffic. It's, you know, I thought I was supposed to be somewhere at 6 and I was not supposed to be there till 7. Like, it's just a pet peeve of mine, lost time. And I was thinking about it when I texted you that. I was like, I hate lost time. I was wondering if I feel as strongly about found time.
Like, if you get really excited, fallback, or what is it called? Spring fallback.
Yeah, or whatever that is.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
more like, I have this big thing that I have to get home for, and because I've got to clean all the dishes before the party starts, and I get home, and somebody's already cleaned all the dishes. And I'm like,
and you're
I have an extra hour right now that I can do whatever I want. I don't know if I feel as strongly about found time as I do about lost time, but I do appreciate that it happens. It happens in life.
Yeah. Let's see here. Somebody was, I don't know where I heard this, but it was like, in your 30s, you spend all this time trying to make money, 20s and 30s, make money. And then once you have your money, like, you spend your money trying to get your time back. So it's all, it's like it reverses. And it's all about spending the money that you spent your 20s and 30s making to buy conveniences that buy you time, like a house cleaner and, you know, I don't know, babysitters or whatnot that like allow you to spend your time more wisely, or outsourcing, basically just outsourcing your time.
That's
like,
a weird
man,
tension.
That's really smart. I can kind of feel that.
There's this old like wives' tale or urban legend or whatever. Maybe it's just an inspirational story about these two guys who graduated from law school at the same time. And one of them goes into his like law career, and he builds his practice, and he becomes a partner, and he makes a bajillion dollars or whatever. And he finally retires at 65 or something. And he moves down to the Bahamas to fulfill his dream of like buying a boat and just fishing out the rest of his days. When he gets down there, he runs into this buddy that he graduated from law school with, who is like sitting on a boat, weathered skin, you know, all hairy and gross.
Clearly, he's been down there for years.
He's been down there since the day they graduated from law school. It's like they both ended up in the same place. But he's just been like living his fishing life for the last, you know, 35 years or so. And
yeah,
it's an interesting little story to think about. Like, what are we doing with all this like energy that we're doing? And I actually think like I've been in a little bit of like an existential pondering mode lately, and I was thinking about all these jobs that exist. And I think that our job is like top 10 most important jobs. Like in
really?
The world, on the planet. Yeah. I really do. Because I think about a lot of
interesting.
I immediately dismiss all the jobs that got invented. Jobs that got invented just because.
What do you mean?
Well, like there's jobs that got invented because somebody decided that we needed a thing called a widget machine, and we don't really need a widget machine, but then that widget machine creates all these jobs. So it's like this perpetuating cycle. It's like there's a guy who makes all the widgets.
Okay. All right.
And so his job got invented. It doesn't. And then I think about, you know, like what are the basic jobs? There are jobs like cooking and jobs like,
right.
I mean, even like, I don't know. I just think about like the simplest sort of like, what are the things that like have to happen for communities to survive? And
okay.
I don't know. I don't want to judge anybody's job, but I was just thinking through it. And then I was thinking about the job that we have is that we kind of like bring sanity to all the things that don't matter. Like we get to say to the lawyer, you know what really matters? Love your wife, love your kids, create time, be kind, you know, da-da-da. And so, and you and I was cataloging myself. I have influence into Microsoft. I have influence into politics. I have influence into Hollywood. I have influence into all of these like places that, and I do it from this one little chair right here. So I think on balance.
When were you thinking about this? Like, here's the question that I have is like, when do you get into like these deep thinking modes? I don't ever drop into. So hold on. I have a question because I know there's a lot of, there's people who think outside. Okay. So there's people who think in their heads, like I'm guessing you, and then there's outward processors where their best thoughts get created like you and I when they're talking out loud. But I think you're an inward processor. Like you don't need another person there to have these deep thoughts.
No. I'll have a whole conversation with myself. In fact, when we were in Ireland, part of what I felt like was a shift for Rebecca and I was like, okay, you want to get inside my brain? She's like, yeah, I do. I go, are you sure? She's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I told her like what I was thinking. I was like, this is what I'm thinking about this pub that we're in. I'm asking myself these questions about this pub and why this pub is different than that pub and what the heck makes that work and tick. And she was like, really? And I go, yeah. And you have to appreciate that's not me being critical or negative. It's literally just me going, I wonder how that works and how does that work? And I have thoughts about that.
Yeah.
And Rebecca is much more like, I just want to enjoy the pub. I'm just happy to be here at the pub. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Want to know something else that blew my mind the other day?
Wow, you are a chatterbox for waking up 18 minutes ago. What blew your mind? Tell me. I'm really interested. Let me in that brain of yours.
Do you ever watch TV?
No, not often. I watch Grey's Anatomy. Come on, we know this. That's the only thing that goes.
All right. So on TV, they have advertisements. I've been watching a lot of college football, and I'm gonna give all the people out there. They're gonna hate me in 1 second.
This is a dad joke, by the way.
No, it's not a dad joke.
Queuing up a dad joke. I can tell.
I'm not.
Okay.
There's a Burger King ad right now that my family hates because it makes me walk around the house and go, BK, have it your way, and like, and I'm just like, I don't know what to say or something. I'm just like, I don't know what to say right now. So I'm just gonna say, BK. Have it your way. So you're
have
welcome.
Your
Everybody's. But here's what's
hold
happening.
On,
here's
hold
what
on.
They say next. Here's what they say next. They say, "You rule," and I realized they're talking about because you're a king. It's Burger King. You rule. Like you rule the kingdom. Isn't that cool? I was like, "That's a
that
great
is."
Ad.
we're gonna here. Let's splice this together
this
because I happen
of
to know.
Therapy Radio is brought to you by Burger
King. Okay. I'm going to mute real fast because I'm going to bring Holden in because he knows this advertisement. We're going to play a little game real fast.
Why are you
going to
mute him?
Because I got to yell to get him here.
Gotcha.
Hold on.
Okay. All right.
Holden, come here, buddy.
By the way, you did not mute.
I know I did. Come here. I got a question for you. I got it. Here, come sit right here. Put the headphones on. Cue it up. Here we go.
What is it?
Okay. All right. Go ahead, gosh. Zach. Talk to Holden.
Hold on. What's happening, buddy?
Okay.
How are you? How are you doing?
Good. How
okay,
about
good.
You?
I'm glad.
Ask the question.
I'm doing it. What's the question? What question am I asking him?
What question?
Yeah, what question, Lala? Say what question, Mom?
What question?
Have him sing the BK, Have It Your Way.
BK, Have It Your Way. You rule.
You rule. I love it. Sorry.
Mom did not make
that easy for us.
Why did you want that?
Sorry. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to prove that like my son watches, he knows what it is. And I was like, you just sang what my kid has been singing around the house and my husband for the last like
friends.
Month.
That's because we're like best friends.
All right. I hope that makes the podcast. That's Holden's like second visit to the podcast.
You guys.
Okay.
Every time,
do we want to talk about anything marriage?
Every time I go to Laura's house, I take Alaska Airlines and they give me a box of water. It's like one of these environmentally friendly boxes of water.
Yeah.
And so I come to Laura's house and I'm like, Holden, I brought you something.
Yeah.
It's like, what
and
is
you're
it?
Like, it's $150.
It's $150 box of water.
Yeah.
And if you buy this box of water, they give you a free airplane ride. But this box of water is for you.
That's right.
And he loves it.
Do you know what we do? We put it in our wine cooler, like next to all of our expensive wines that are at a special temperature. We put your boxed wine there because that's where we
boxed
put all
water.
Of our expensive
of
liquid. Yeah. Box
it.
Of water.
Zach and I recently chatted about the value of time and how we spend our 20s hustling to make money. And now in this phase of life, we're spending our money to buy our time back. Yes, Marriage Therapy Radio is sponsored by Every Plate, but y'all know I wholeheartedly have bought into the time, money, and energy saving tactic of having meal kits delivered directly to my door on a weekly basis for the last 8 years. Not only do I save money by not going to the grocery store, but I've also noticed what a relief I feel when the cognitive load has been lifted and I just have to show up and follow the instructions on the meal card. I don't have to meal plan or shop for ingredients every day. But here is the added bonus. I'm in meetings until 6 p.m. and I just texted my hubby and asked him if he could get started on tonight's meal, which is, by the way, Dijon butter steaks with roasted green beans and rosemary potatoes. The transaction is seamless with zero questions because all he has to do is just pull the meal card out and the items from the fridge and just follow the 6 or less easy steps. So it's a no-brainer, right? By the way, Every Plate is the only program that I have heard of that offers the ability to add $1 steaks for life to my weekly shipment. Get started with Every Plate for just $1.49 per meal plus $1 steaks for life by going to everyplate.com/podcast and entering the code 49MTR. So subscriptions must be active to qualify and to redeem the $1 steak. The website again is everyplate.com/podcast. Enter the code 49MTR to get started with Every Plate for $1.49 per meal.
Hey everybody, it's that time of year again, the time that we call the holidays. In my family, it starts on Halloween, which is my younger daughter's birthday, ends on New Year's Day, which is my older daughter's birthday. And in between, I find myself spending a lot of money that I just didn't know I had access to be honest. I'm buying this, that, and the other thing. And it occurred to me that it was time to check in with my finances. So I'm really glad that I have Rocket Money. Rocket Money has that feature that will find and cancel your subscriptions for you. I realized that I had about 5 different Amazon subscriptions. I had one for music and one for Kindle and one for this TV station that I was watching and one for, I had about 5 different ones, and Rocket Money found them all for me, gave me a notification, helped me know which ones to cancel, and then I clicked this one little button and it canceled them for me. So I'm really grateful to have found it. The other thing that I love about Rocket Money is it's a great personal finance app for my kid to use. She's in college, she's trying to figure out how all of her money works. It's got budgeting features that help her track what she's spending and where, and I'm just really glad that she has an app that I trust. Again, Rocket Money is a personal finance app, and it'll find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions It monitors your spendings, and it'll help lower your bills. In some cases, they'll even get you a refund for the last couple months of wasted money on subscriptions that you forgot, or negotiate a lower price for your bills by up to maybe 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money will take care of the rest. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/MTR. That's rocketmoney.com/MTR. And in the spirit of our sponsorship, I'll say it this way. This episode of Marriage Therapy Radio is brought to you by rocketmoney.com/MTR. Happy holidays, everybody.
Okay, hold on. I have a question for you. And this is a legitimate question that I would like our listeners to weigh in on, because I have been thinking about this.
All right.
As I was yelling to my husband to bring me toilet paper because I was out of TP. And he comes downstairs and he makes a few choice comments about the scent that he had to walk into. That's right. It's a little early. And anyway, so here's my question. My question is, number one, do you and Rebecca have any mystery when it comes to bathroom usage in your household? Or
None.
Do you pee with the door open? If you need, if you ran out of toilet paper, or she ran out of toilet paper, would you have her come in and hand you toilet paper?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. There's no mystery.
I don't have to think about it. There's no mystery. No.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I like part of the privacy. Question is that I don't mind private. I think there's a, I think we value privacy, but there's not like, we're not precious about it. Like, I think I wouldn't just,
it's not like something sacred or like,
right. No.
Right.
But it's not off limits. If somebody's going to the bathroom, it's not off limits to go in there. But, you know, there's like the etiquette of like, hey, can I come get the thing? Or, do you know, or I need to jump in the shower or something. And then, or hey, get me some toilet paper. That's all fine.
Yeah.
So I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, we're like, we're probably like, I don't even know what the scale is, but let's just say 8.
In the middle.
Somewhere.
Yeah. We are a very open family. If I am showering 100%, my husband is going to come in. And I know that some bathrooms have like those little private rooms where it's just a room for the toilet. And when we're in the process of remodeling and we knocked all the walls down. And then when we were developing, you know, the layout with our designer, we said, oh, we don't need a separate room for the toilet. That just takes up too much room. Like the toilet could be in the middle of the room for all we care. Okay. In fact, in one of the bathrooms, we had a full on chair that we would bring in because like I would want to.
It's like, you rule.
Well, because my husband would be in there for like 20 minutes. And I said, I have your captive. I have all of your attention
now.
So I'm going to bring in. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to bring in a chair. Yeah. I'm going to sit down. I have my notes app open on my phone. I'm going to ask questions. We're going to go through the schedule. That is how we use our time. So there is like zero precious, quiet, anything that happens in the bathroom. But my question is, do you think that having that, removing the mystery around the bathroom, does that ruin your intimacy? Does it screw up or make it less special? Like, I'm just wondering, I have a hypothesis with a, I guess that my study size, my sample size is like 2.
Yeah.
But I have one couple friend. No, it's not. That's why I'm opening this up to our listeners, because we have 8 million listeners and I would like for them to weigh in. It could be 8.5 million at this point.
Yeah.
Due to all of the positive feedback that we keep getting. Man, my brain is
at least
like,
as far as I can tell
now.
From our Apple podcast reviews, we're crushing it. By the way, we're not.
We absolutely
you guys,
are.
You got to go to Apple Podcasts and
to Apple.
Fill it out.
And say, I was, they,
for
and
Christmas,
they'll say,
give it to us for Christmas. Give us a 5-star Apple review for Christmas.
Okay.
Hey.
All right.
I think I have an answer to your question. A serious one.
All right.
Because you've touched on something that I say to clients all the time. You've heard us talk about, we talk about the model of intimacy that includes intellectual, emotional, physical, sexual, spiritual.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. So
yeah,
some of those are pretty clearly defined. I always differentiate between physical intimacy and sexual intimacy. They're different. Sexual intimacy is, physical intimacy is about proximity, meaning we occupy space together. And sexual intimacy actually doesn't require proximity, because you can sext one another from across the country, or you can send lewd photos, or you can, you know. So But when I talk about physical intimacy, they always say, like, what do you mean? I go, well, do you like cook together? Do you snuggle in ways that are, do you go to the bathroom with the door open? I say that phrase every single time. And the reason I say that phrase every single time is because physical intimacy or intimacy is a thing that I share with you that I don't share with anyone else. And so no one gets to come into the bathroom except for Rebecca. When I'm taking, or else it's awkward. It's weird. It's strange, right?
Yeah.
Like
when you're reading a magazine, as we call it.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to ask you that question. When I go to the bathroom, particularly number two, in our house, the code is I'm going to go read a magazine. Do you guys have code? Do you have the same similar code or do you care?
No, there's no code. Okay. Oh, no. There is code. I say I have a sense of urgency. Okay. Feeling, yeah. Or the spirit is moving me, I believe is the phrase, which basically means I'm going to be a few minutes.
Yeah, I just go, I'm going to go read a magazine. Everybody knows that's good. Dad's going to be gone for a while in the bathroom. But
20 minutes. That's when I follow my husband with my notes app open in the calendar. Yeah,
I'm sure he loves that. But I do think that I think that the conversation we're having falls in the category of physical intimacy because it is a privilege that Rebecca and I share that we share with no one else. And that is, I think that's part of the marital gig. So is it tied directly to sexual intimacy? I don't think so. I'm just kind of anti saying all things do this or all things do that. But at least in my house, physical intimacy is a strength of ours, meaning we do proximity to one another really, really well.
We definitely have, I would say, physical intimacy is a huge strength of ours as well. And with my son as well. We are a very snuggly family. We're very hands-on. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean we kiss a lot. It means that we're just a very hands-on family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I would continue to investigate your sample just to see if...
Yeah. And I guess I kind of wanted to clarify because here's another example. And I was just wondering about this too, is this is another sort of physical intimacy piece is when I have couples who are getting ready to go through labor and delivery, I ask what are the roles? What's that going to look like? How would you like your partner to be in relation to you? And so some people are very clear of, I will be up at her head. I will have no view of what's happening down below with the baby coming out. And you can probably guess my husband was gloved up. He caught our son covered in goo. I mean, he saw it all, but that was also not a surprise. I also work with couples when it comes to the preparation of helping to stretch the perineum for females. And there's a whole, did you know that you can do this?
No,
you can
kind of create. No,
I think, I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing that you have some experience in that department, but you take basically oil, or a lubricant and you physically have to stretch out the perineum because you're just creating more elasticity and more lubrication and and that can happen months in advance. So basically you're down in the area that used to be for pleasure and now you're preparing it for baby coming out. It's an amazingly intimate exercise because you're helping. But anyway, I'm relating this to how much mystery. And does it correlate to either a lack of sexual intimacy or more physical or sexual intimacy? Hopefully that was clear. Oof, that took a while. That's
I think it's
my
a fine question
for our
but
listeners.
Again, even the more you're describing it, I think if you are a person who, okay. Let's take it one step further. Emily Nagoski's work, we get to talk to her next year. She's got a new book coming out. Really excited about that. Talks
her first
a lot.
Book, by the way, is Come As You Are. The second one is Burnout, and we're going to have her on again.
The second one is Burnout with her sister. That's different.
Sister.
It's a different topic. But this next one's called Come Together, which is cool.
Fun.
Come together.
I was thinking that right now.
Over me. Yeah, she named both those books after her song lyrics on purpose. So, a lot of the content in her first book is about how women or men and women don't know how a vagina works. Just don't know the parts, don't know how to masturbate, don't know the difference between the different, functions of the different parts of the, and, men are very simple machines, but imagine becoming someone who is actually really familiar with your, A, your own parts, but B, like your partner's parts, like there has to be an intimacy that comes from that. And it could be, maybe it's a turnoff, I don't know. But I think if you're really into like what intimacy is comprehensively, then you don't need to protect like the mystery of the vagina, right? You can actually go, I'm going to learn about how this thing works and what is sensitive and what's not, and how to help you make a baby. Not make a baby. Well, I guess I can help you make a baby, but deliver a baby and all this other stuff. So I guess as we're talking, I have more bias toward still go to the bathroom with the door open. Not in a crass or like disrespectful way, but I don't know if I really am a champion of the mystery part of the sexual intimacy. Maybe
this
it's kind actually
of leans
knowing,
a little bit.
Maybe it's actually knowing that creates more intimacy.
This is a little bit of the debate that I would say the Gottmans have with, what's her name? She has a podcast. She's a therapist. Help me with the sack. Yeah, Esther Perel.
Esther Perel,
The concept of too much, like too much merging, too much information, like the having some mystery about your partner actually builds intimacy. And the Gottmans would say, what we're really trying to do is close the gap of the mystery. Like you should know your partner really, really well, like the love mapping. Mm-hmm. And it's all about not necessarily merging, but it's all about exploring and understanding and developing all of the knowingness that you can have in a relationship. There's a little bit of a divide between the two of them. We should get Esther on and have her talk a little bit about that, because I would be intrigued hear her point of view. You're on it?
Yeah, I'm spending a whole week with her in February.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going on
Where is this now. Again?
Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm going to Costa Rica to be with her and Terry intriguing. For a whole week. And I'm like all about like, hey, let's be friends. Let me put your phone number in my phone. Why don't you come on podcast? I'll come on your podcast. Let's do it. Yeah, we're going to be
best. Do you know how many people are going to be down there?
I think it's probably going to be about 30 to 50 is my.
It'll be very intimate then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have three meals a day and we'll be doing like a lot of interactive like teaching and stuff. So.
That's very cool.
I imagine being able from time to time to go, hey, can I sit here? And just like having like off conversation, like, oh, I'm married. Here's my kids and da, 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 and you know.
While you're down there, will you just take your equipment? And then it's pretty easy to just say, hey, during this break, like, can we just record a 30-minute podcast? Just come into my room and record. I think that would be pretty cool.
Do you want me
take
to
your equipment,
bring
just...
Esther into my hotel room for 30 minutes to record a podcast.
100%.
Yeah. That's what you want. Okay.
I do. Yeah.
I'll ponder that. Yeah.
Okay. And then ring me up, because I would like to be there and ask her questions as well. I have something else that I wanted to talk about now that we're a full 23 minutes into the podcast.
People are like, what is
that? But hold on. I have to say, I have been annoyed with our podcast, meaning like sometimes I get off the podcast and I go, oh, there's no value at all that we had. We didn't talk about anything important to relationships. But I am now leaning into the fact that if you're listening to this podcast, some of it is for entertainment value. Some of it is I just want to escape my real life and maybe I'll get some kind of a nugget. I'm going to give you a nugget because I've been working on something. I've been thinking a lot about how do I add value to my couples? Like every time they come to see me, I am so aware that the moment that clock starts ticking, it's charging them by the minute. I don't know if you're aware of this, money has been so important to me. Yeah. By the way, we are a one income household right now. So that's new and interesting.
That's exciting.
And I am excited.
You.
I am
you're
leaning
the
into
income.
It. It's
you're
me.
The incomer.
I am. Yes, I am the incomer. We were exploring. I will get to value, guys, in just a second, but I have to give you this life update. Ryan has been dancing around like he has. This is his third work transition in, I want to say, like maybe 15 months. So it used to stress me out a lot. And it's really interesting because I have several other people, not only in my practice clients, that are kind of like in this transition of how do we navigate roles? Like people are a lot of the couples that I've been with have had traditional roles in the sense that when they have a child, they go from dual income to I'm going to stay home. I'm going to, you know, kind of be with these toddlers for a while until they go off to school and then maybe I'll re-enter the workforce. And in these heterosexual relationships, the men are pulling the majority of the weight when it comes to bringing in the income. And now I have a lot of couples in transition where it's kind of like the men are saying, hey, I've been doing this for a really long time and I would really love a break. It actually goes a lot with what you were talking about with, you know, like I work, and finally at 65, I get to go down to the Bahamas and enjoy and do the things that I really want to do. And they're at 65. Mm-hmm. I'm very aware that there's a lot of men right now in my life where they're missing out on a lot of life because they have been so focused on making money. And a lot of them are making decisions to basically say, I cannot guarantee that I'm going to make it to 65. Can't do it. But what I can guarantee is that I still have kids at home that I love and adore and a wife that needs my attention. And I would love to just stop working and we'll just kind of go on autopilot. They have stockpiled money up for retirement. And basically they're taking like a, what do you call it? Like a sabbatical where you just kind of like you have an early retirement. Yeah, so sure. I have a lot of... A walkabout? I kind of like
no,
that.
No, that's different. That, like a walkabout is like where you just
a rumspringa.
Sort of, yeah, where you just like, I'm just going to go to Australia and walk around for like a year. So that's kind of like a sabbatical.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So we've kind of kicked around the idea, this strategy that in our son's life, we're doing things a little differently. Ryan's dad worked his ass off. And no doubt, we think it probably impacted like his Alzheimer's diagnosis, right? Like he was flying, he was taking Ambien to try and like, I mean, that's probably too much information, but he worked in Australia for like 3 weeks at a time and then he'd come home for a week and then he would go. So Ryan grew up really comfortable financially, but didn't have access to his father the same way that he wants to show up for our son. So we recognize like Holden's only going to be home for another 10 years. And so we're kind of kicking around the idea of what if we had you retire, Ryan, or have a walkabout for 5 years and then go back into the workforce? Yeah. I would rather have those years be focused. So anyway, we're making some major swift life changes. It's happening in other people's relationships. It's huge conversations. It's rocking relationships because couples are having to renavigate the expectations, the roles, and the agreements that they made maybe 10 years ago and basically say, this isn't working for us anymore. Our lives have evolved. I feel differently now than when we first got together and we kind of had these agreements. I don't know. Have you ever like talked about, I don't know, how you and Rebecca, because you're a dual income household. Have you guys had major changes or have you talked about your roles or how you would work out? Like,
I mean,
does that make
remember
sense?
That thing at the top where we were talking about like how my brain works and how like I think about things that are like in like strange ways. I think about this all the time. The thing about me that's unique is
you think it's unique.
Well, it's unique in the community that I'm in. My parents declared bankruptcy in high school, and I was scraping it together, scarcity mindset forever. My daughter Abby was on free and reduced lunch. We were using food stamps, you know, as recently as 15, 20 years ago. Then, like when I finally leaned into being a couples therapist and I started to make like real person money, I have had to spend the last, you know, 10 years or so making a shift, and it's showing up in kind of interesting, weird ways. Like Abby doesn't have access to the kind of financial aid at college that we thought she would because I make too much vis-a-vis what my brain thought was going to happen. So she's like, Dad, do we have money or do we not have money? I don't understand. I can't. So we've had this maybe 10-year transition toward, you know, maybe surplus is the way to put it, or that I have, I don't know if I've still wrapped my head around. So, you know, we have this conversation a lot, like, where are we? What are we doing? And while I feel like I'm doing pretty good, I'm also paying for the 20 years prior that I wasn't right. doing good. So
yeah.
it's like, yeah, I do okay, but also that came at a high cost. And so it's a weird one. I think everybody has to kind of ponder it a little bit, and necessarily comes up against issues of identity, I think maybe is the question that you're asking. Like, what are we worth? Where do we hold value? What's important to us? You know, I think it necessarily pushes those buttons. And if you're not asking them thoughtfully, it's very easy, I think, for it to sneak up on you and go, wait, what am I doing here? Like, what am I, like, what is this? You know, wouldn't I rather just be on a boat? Wouldn't I rather it be simpler? Am I really trading, you know, life for a paycheck? And I think, you know, it's a universal question. It's age old, but,
right.
But I think, we're having it in a little bit different way than you guys are probably having it. And right now,
well,
I mean,
I'm kind of asking, what are the questions that you guys are having? Because you have one kid in college, one that's getting ready to go to college. Okay. That's right. That's right.
She's going to do her own thing, but I don't think it's college.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Which is great because I've saving for two people to go to college and I only have to pay for one of them.
Cool.
No, but here's what's going to happen.
Well,
she's going to change her mind.
I love education.
She's going to change her mind in like May of 2000. And like, she's going to change her mind like May of her senior year. She'll be like, yeah, no, I think I'm ready to go to college. I'm like,
cool. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, heads up, college is like the most fun. If you like independence, and which I think she is really, you know, in that phase of life as a teenager of just really starting to individuate and become her own person and want to separate from mom and dad.
Yeah.
College is a great time to do that. It was
college is like
literally
grown up
the
daycare.
Most amazing experience. Is it? It's yeah. There's always a meal on campus for you. There's like, always a place for you to like lay your head.
Just, you can sleep here and you can eat here and you can do this. And we're going to tell you where to go and when to go there. And then,
it's very expensive daycare.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Did we talk about anything? Did you get to your point? Did you make your point yet?
I didn't. No, I didn't. And I guess I could. I'll go back to this idea.
Okay.
And that's fine. This will be a really great long podcast. I hope you all are enjoying your walk, your drive, your zone out, cleaning the dishes, folding the laundry, whatever it might be. So I've been trying to make sure that not on the podcast that my time is used wisely, but in session that my client's time is used wisely.
Right. Yes. Because your clients are coming in and they're spending money and it's really expensive and you are having a transition in your practice. Okay. Gotcha. Go.
I'm just really aware of it, right? Like when I get a massage, I am thinking to myself, this last 3 minutes cost me $8 or whatever.
That's not a very relaxing way to
good.
Get a massage. Was,
no, but that's how my brain works because money is really important to me. So I also recognize that a lot of the clients that come to see me, this is all out of pocket. This is not something that your insurance is paying. So when I use their time wisely, I ask clients, like, what's the win? And thankfully, I mean, I've learned a lot from you in asking at the end of like this workshop, at the end of this session, what's going to feel like a win for you? And a lot of people are still saying there's these huge, bolder conversations in the relationship that is a factor. It still feels like we haven't gotten to the important stuff. In Gottman Method, a lot of what we do is we teach you how to have important conversations, and it's very skill-based. And oftentimes it's like, because I want you to have those conversations at home in your living room without me on the clock. But a lot of times people are saying, we want you, Laura Heck, to be almost like the referee, the guide. We like the structure of therapy. It provides safety for us to have these hard conversations that traditionally have been very tough for us. And so I have had clients do what we call the can of worms. So
we're starting the can of worms right now? We should do part two. Like we should stop and be like, so we're going to tell you all about the can of worms next time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to use the Zygarnik effect.
We're
going to use the Zygarnik effect. The Zygarnik effect is when your brain is like, what's going to happen? You think about it. So
right.
What's going to happen dun, 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 next week on Marriage Therapy Radio?
So let me explain what the can of worms is.
Okay.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Okay.
You guys, we started today and Laura was like, I know what I want to do. I want to talk about the can of worms that I've been working on. I was like, okay, cool. Let's do that. 35 minutes later, you introduced the topic. All right. So let's sum up. today? What did we learn today?
We talked about interesting stuff. We talked about roles in relationships. We talked about what's important. We talked about money and how that shows up in relationships. Vis-a-vis
sexual intimacy.
See, we talked about important
influence.
Stuff.
We talked about BK. Have it your way.
Have it your way. That's right. We had a special guest, Holden Heck, on
Holden,
the podcast.
Holden, yeah.
Hey, let me also mention, because you got to meet my son, I am going to be raising money this year for the Children's Tumor Foundation. So excited. I'm going to keep talking about it all throughout 2024 because I signed up to do, I haven't told you this, I'm running the New York Marathon, and I'm running it for the Cancer Foundation. So, or the Tumor Foundation, excuse me. I'm so excited. So I will be doing a lot of fundraising. It's in November. So we have a long time. It just occurred. And now I just joined the endurance team. It's called the NF endurance team.
So you guys, this is the podcast first, land.
Yes.
If you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we will let you participate in one of the benefits that you will get is you can participate in Laura's fundraiser for the NF Foundation. And then you're, so
that's,
you get,
oh, that's interesting. Get two, that's an interesting way benefits. To put it. Yeah.
No,
you get
I think
to
that's cool.
leave us a review. It is cool.
Here's what I think would be really
so
cool.
So I will be running.
Here's what I think would actually be really cool. What if, like, I think it would be pretty baller if somehow Marriage Therapy Radio and the listener world was like the sponsors of your marathon. I think that would be
very,
very cool. So we don't know how to do
I
that.
I agree.
But how do we just conscript you guys all onto our team?
Yeah, I'm gonna ponder it because I would love to raise a ton of money. I'll tell you more about why my son is, so he's impacted by a diagnosis called NF2. You can look it up. So I'm gonna give you the rough and dirty of it. Essentially, it's a genetic condition that he was born with. We just discovered it last year. I was literally like, I get choked up. Okay. Okay. Hold it together. Nope, I can't. I'm going to, okay. All right, let's do this. We discovered that he has tumors all in his body and in his brain and along his spine. And they're non-cancerous, but holy moly, like they grow and they impact his motor skills and they impact his vision and they impact his hearing. And and it's just been an interesting year. And I'm sure if you've been a longtime listener, like you've kind of heard me like, get it together, Laura. You've heard, you know, it's been a struggle. And anyway, this is something that I can do is I can run and I can raise money and I can have some control. And I would love for you to join and sponsor me raising money for the Children's Tumor Foundation. Whew, I got through it. Are you okay over there? As
I'm
I got
great.
My emotions on a roller coaster today.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. Okay, let's do this. I will sponsor you, Laura. I will
Thank
help you.
You.
You asked me a couple days ago, do you want to run a marathon with me? I was like, nope, my running days are over. But my sponsoring causes that I care about are not over, and I will do that. And why don't we park this one, and we'll kick this can of worms down to next week, and we'll talk to you guys in a little bit.
Okay, I'm better now. I got my emotions in check. That was hard. Okay, let's land this plane. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. And if you made it all the way to the end of this episode, congratulations. You just followed a very wiggly path to the end. I mentioned that I will be raising money all of 2024 for through a group called the NF Endurance Team. This is supporting the Children's Tumor Foundation. We will have a link on our website, marriagetherapyradio.com. So that you can donate. I have very lofty goals. I'm not sure what my goal is yet, but I will let you know. And we're going to have lots of opportunities for donating and joining and supporting. And it's really important to me. And we'll bring Holden on the podcast at some point as well. But visit our website, marriagetherapyradio.com. Go to Apple and leave a kind review. That would be really lovely. And finally, thank you so much for all of your time and your attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the Roaring Twenties. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.